This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is Joe Biden going to get us into World War III? We're going to talk about that. I'm not going to elaborate on the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing. I'll mention it tonight. We got Carol Markowitz, all kinds of greatness in the light and the mood section. All that's coming up tonight on I'm Right. All right, let's just get this out of the way. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on my show talking about the Oscars. I didn't watch, you didn't watch, nobody cared. But everybody and their brother today has to have an opinion on the Will Smith hitting Chris Rock thing. I mean, here it was.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it, all right? that was a nice one, okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh, Richard. Oh, wow. Will Smith just smacked the out of me.
He called my name out your mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane jump.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay? Okay. That was a greatest night in the history of television. Okay.
I don't care. I know we're supposed to elaborate on this today, who was right or who was wrong. I don't care. Was it fake? Was it real? I don't care. It's Hollywood. These people are all detestable. Chris Rock, Will Smith, Jada, the Oscars, they're all a bunch of child-grooming psychopaths who push filth on this country all day long. I hope next year's Oscars is nothing but a bunch of actors sitting around slapping each other to death. That's all I care about. Go slap each other because I want to slap all of you. That's my take on it. Now let's move on to actually what matters out here. Do you remember what I said last week about Joe Biden, about him going to Europe? He's going to go to Europe. We have potentially World War III. Got all these things going. You remember what I said? In case you don't remember here what I said, here's what I said. Joe Biden, he's heading off to Europe. So we should probably get ready for World War III. Just think about that. Joe Biden, I'm so tired. He's going to go negotiate things with NATO and the G7. That'll go well. Yeah, remember when I said that? Well, here's how well it went as Joe Biden, President of the United States of America, on international television, announcing that he wants the removal of Vladimir Putin.
Ukraine will never be a victory for Russia, for free people refused to live in a world of hopelessness and darkness. We will have a different future, a brighter future, rooted in democracy and principle, hope and light. Of decency and dignity, of freedom and possibilities. For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
Well, he's right. This man cannot remain in power. And of course, we're talking about Joe Biden himself. I need to explain just a couple things for people because they get confused. And it's hard with all the news out there now to sort out what's real. Let me explain something. When you speak, when I speak, it's probably not going to change the world at all or world affairs. That's no insult to you or me or our power, but we're not the President of the United States of America, are we? When the President of the United States of America speaks, he actually has to be very careful because with one sentence, he can change the world. Don't believe me? Look at the entire history of the world. One thing taken wrong. One thing heard differently, one sentence that shouldn't have been said, uttered, and all of a sudden you have war, famine, and such. When the president speaks, it's a major deal. When the president says that, then it sounds like he wants the removal of Vladimir Putin, to which you may be saying right now, oh, good, I hate Putin. Putin's a scumbag. Pause for a moment. We must always be the thinkers, be the adults in the room. Allow the communists to take their talking points from the hive mind. We must be thinkers. We are going to move past, at all times, bumper sticker phrases like, support our troops, freedom isn't free, or remove Putin. Stop. What do you think happens if Putin gets removed? Who do you think removes him? What kind of country do you think Russia is? You see, remove Putin! Sounds wonderful, right? Because in your mind, you picture Captain America flying in on whatever that big space shuttle thing is, and he parachutes in and beats up a bunch of guards and takes out Putin. And then he takes over, saintly Captain America. That's not how it works in the real world. In the real world, if you want a nasty dictator from a violent country removed, it's going to take a nasty, violent person to remove him. And if said nasty, violent person removes him, you had better ask yourself, are they going to be worse than the guy who's currently there? How many times do we have to see this on the world stage? I don't like him. Let's get rid of him. Oh, wow, his replacement's much worse. Remove Putin sounds wonderful. Helps you sleep well at night. Looks good on a bumper sticker. It is not a thinking person's position at all. Shockingly, the communists who run the White House seemed to realize this right away, and they went scrambling to the mics to try to walk back old Uncle Joe.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain. Wow.
The White House trying to make clear in the aftermath, or making very clear in the aftermath, he was not, in fact, calling for regime change.
And you're going to see when you're there, sometime you've been there, you're going to see women, young people standing in the middle of front of a damn tank.
White House officials are telling us that President Biden does not intend to send U.S. troops into Ukraine.
If chemical weapons were used in Ukraine, would that trigger a military response from NATO?
It would trigger a response in kind.
The United States has no intention of using chemical weapons, period, under any circumstance.
We know what's happening here, and I've got to say something that's going to be wildly unpopular, but it's true. What's happening here is the President of the United States of America, his brain is failing him. All jokes aside, this body doesn't last forever, neither does the mind. Eventually it goes. Well, that's fine when it's you, your dad, your mom, me, that's fine. When you're the President of the United States of America, you have private meetings with national security people and other world leaders where very private things are discussed. You then, a critical skill for the president is you must go out into the public and speak without divulging the things that should remain private. Why does Joe Biden keep saying these things? Because these are the things they discuss in private, yet he lacks the brain power to filter those things from coming out of his mouth. Which leads me to the unpopular thing. It is time for President Kamala Harris. I know what you're saying, that she's terrible and an idiot and not capable. It could be worse. And look, all those things are right. You're right. Nobody has more fun at Dome's expense than me. I get it. We can't have this anymore. We're not talking about funny little memes you send to your buddies on the internet. We are talking about the President of the United States of America potentially getting us into a war with a power that has 5,000 nuclear weapons because he can't filter his mouth anymore. That doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. We can't have this. It is 25th Amendment time. We understand there are potentially tens of millions of lives at stake here. We must have somebody who can control his mouth in the White House. And look, he's so inept, so out of control of his mouth, that while Americans are getting slaughtered at the gas pump, $5, $6 a gallon, Joe Biden, he's out there saying, exciting opportunity?
As a matter of economic security and national security for the survivability of the planet, we all need to move as quickly as possible to clean, renewable energy. And we'll work together to help to get that done.
this is an opportunity, clean, renewable energy, while you're getting killed at the gas pump? They think it's an opportunity? Look, it's him again being honest, saying the things the communists say in private, he's saying them out loud. I mean, Bill Gates, as big of a scumbag as he is, at least he gets out there and says the quiet part out loud.
But I read in one of the interviews you gave in the last week or two, it was just published, you said rich nations should move to 100% synthetic beef.
Yeah, unless we can make the cow zero emission, which, you know, I'm not sure we can, we do need to make to get rid of those emissions. And, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. The scale up and the innovation still required there is quite large. But yes, zero is a very demanding number, and it doesn't allow you to say, well, all but, you know, that 6% that comes from cows.
I want you to know something. I want you to know that man has a very similar psychological profile to Mao and Pol Pot and many like him. And I'm not exaggerating. That man is a mass murderer, and he probably doesn't even know it. That human being would watch a billion people die and not lose a moment of sleep over it, just like Mao did. Mao killed 50 million of his own countrymen, didn't lose a minute of sleep over it. That's Bill Gates. And be very, very wary of these enviro-communists when they say things like phase in, scale up, scale down. That's just a way of them saying, I understand this will kill millions. We'll kill them slowly so people don't realize what's happening. You try to eliminate beef, it will kill millions, tens of millions of people for your carbon fantasy. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We have a great show for you. We'll talk more climate change stuff, Joe Biden stuff, got a great light in the mood. But first, I'm going to read you an email real quick. Dear Jesse, wanted to share my experience with Eden Pure. We bought the 3-pack that you advertised. One was put in our family room in the basement. We put one in between the dining room and the kitchen. My wife had one of those air fresheners that plug in. Well, the Eden Pure neutralized the plug-in. Didn't I tell you it takes all the odors out of the air? The third one I gave to my son, who's a taxidermist. He has it a separate room with dermastid needles that are used to clean any and all particles off the meat and skulls. They put these beetles on the skulls to eat all the flesh off it. It's really gross and it smells. Anyways, he says, as you can imagine, there's a scent in that room. I installed it and it works. Thought I would share that because I thought it was a bit different than intended. I'm telling you, this thing is amazing. On top of the allergy relief, the fact that it kills viruses and mold, it takes all odor out of the air. It's astounding. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse, and you get a 3-pack for under $200. That's $200 in savings. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
This crisis also presents an opportunity. It's a catalyst that will drive the investments we need to double down on our clean energy goals and accelerate progress toward our net zero emissions future. That's what the second part of this initiative is all about. The United States and the European Union are going to work together to take concrete measures to reduce dependence on natural gas, period.
An opportunity? Did you comfort yourself with that the last time you filled up your car with gas? Oh, nice! This is an opportunity to buy solar panels! Joining me now is Mark Morano, author of the book, highly recommend, Green Fraud, and also the upcoming book, The Great Reset. I haven't even read that one yet, but I already recommend it because people need to learn what that is. Global elites and the permanent lockdown. Okay, Mark, connect the dots on those two for me. I obviously understand that's not going to be difficult for you. The green agenda, the great reset, those don't have anything to do with each other. Mark, what are you talking about?
Well, interestingly enough, the simplest way to explain it is whether you're talking about the Ukraine invasion, COVID, or climate, the solutions are all the same. It's identical solutions, and they all involve shutting down human freedom, limiting average people, middle class, working class, people, our incomes, our mobility, our ability to heat and air condition our homes, private vehicle ownership, what we can eat, whether you can eat meat anymore or not. Their goal is to stop that. So all of this, it's all about creating chaos and making us more dependent on the government. Universal basic income is the biggest push, and they're going to skyrocket energy prices and inflation, and they're going to collapse the current system. We saw with COVID lockdowns, all the small mom and pops being destroyed, the restaurants. Who survived? Walmart, all the corporate chains, all the ones that are beholden to woke activists survived. You couldn't go to church during COVID lockdown, but you can go to any Walmart anywhere in the country, no problem. That's the
Mark. No, I'm glad we started right there. What is their view? Why are they so angry with the middle class? Mark, I don't understand. I mean, you or I know I personally would look at the middle class and say that's really what builds nations. You want a good, strong middle class. They seem to loathe them. I don't understand.
Well, the Davos crowd is seeking an increasing centralization. The World Economic Forum, they have the annual meetings. And they actually had videos, and it's very slickly produced. They say, you and our vision of the world, as we, what's the word I'm looking for? We're gravitating toward this. You will own nothing. You'll be happy. Everything you want will be delivered by drone. The U.S. will no longer be a superpower. Eating meat will be a rare treat, and you'll have no privacy. And the gist of it is, someone else will own that. You won't own it, but someone else will. And these are the people, this goes back 100 years at least to Woodrow Wilson's presidency, started the League of Nations, which then led to the United Nations. But Woodrow Wilson started this idea in his administration with the idea that credentialed experts know best how to live everyone's life, including the middle class and the poor and the working class and blue collar, and that the masses, if you will, if left to their own devices, will create racism, inequality, destroy the earth, destroy our climate, and we just can't have that. It's chaos. So they want credentialed experts to come in and literally manage in every aspect of our lives. That's the only way you can ensure a happy world, essentially. And this utopian vision, of course, has been tried during Mussolini's Italy, Germany, to a lesser extent, the Soviet Union, of course, China's social credit system. And they're trying it essentially now. They're regrouping now, and that's what they're pushing right now, the World Economic Forum. And that's why COVID, in the words of Jane Fonda, was God's gift to the left. Because what they can now do by collapsing the current system, by pushing universal basic income, they're going to get more and more people dependent on government by crushing small businesses. Now we're beholden to all the corporate chain restaurants, chain stores, Fortune 500, and all of them are beholden to this woke culture pushing everything on us that, you know, whether you like it or not, you have no choice because there is no competition anymore. And of course, you're being censored and shut down. So there's no idea of protest. And the latest thing, and I deal with this in my book, is they're going to go after banking. President Biden just 2 weeks ago issued an executive order on digital central bank initiative. And what that's going to do, if you go to buy something at your store and your credit card could be declined because you have hate tweets or you left something on social media that's not in good standing, so they can deny your bank service. We saw Justin Trudeau do that directly in Canada. It's a way to control people that, actually, in the words of one of the analysts in my book, that Hitler, Mao, and Stalin would have envied. That's what the Great Reset is, and that's what we're facing. And high energy prices are just one small part of that wheel.
Mark, another part of this thing is something you brought up earlier, something called the Great Food Reset. Here's Joe Biden in his own words.
With regard to food shortage, yes, we did talk about food shortages. And it's going to be real. The price of these sanctions is not just imposed upon Russia. It's imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including European countries and our country as well.
Mark, but then we have guys like Bill Gates saying we're going to 100% synthetic beef. So Joe Biden says food shortages are coming. Bill Gates seems to be happy about it. Are they upset about the food shortages?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not arguing that they planned it or caused it, but David, first of all, just speaking specifically on Ukraine, we'll get to Bill Gates in a second. Biden has now admitted that these sanctions aren't a deterrent. So originally we were told when you go to get your gas at, you know, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8 a gallon, you're supposed to say, yeah, I'm sticking it to Putin. And now when you don't have any food or you're going out and skyrocketing food prices and then shortages, you're supposed to say, yeah, at least I'm sticking. Remember, Stephen Colbert actually said, you know, he's actually happy about paying that for gas people do because they're sticking it to Putin. Well, it turns out we're not sticking it to Putin because the Biden administration is now admitting it's doing nothing in that regard. So what does this mean? It's amazing that regardless of what happens, the solution is always the same. It's going to be suffering the middle class and poor. What they've done here, and you mentioned Bill Gates. Bill Gates is pushing synthetic burgers. Why do we care what Bill Gates wants? Well, there's one reason we care what Bill Gates wants. And I'm going to cite NBC News here, not, you know, some conspiracy blogger. NBC News says Bill Gates is buying up America's farmland, and he's now the number one owner of American farmland in the country. And Bill Gates' agenda is to stop us from eating meat. He's bragged about drinking water made from sewage, and he's pushing also insect eating on the public.
Okay, well, here's the thing, Mark. All those things sound awful, and they sound like something that would never be accepted by the masses in general. I know you're always going to have some lemmings, but surely the masses aren't going to say, no, ribeye for me, I'd prefer a cockroach burger. They're not going to want to ride their bicycle 80 miles each way to work. These things don't work. Normal people don't want to drink sewage. So how could this stuff ever come to be?
Well, it's going to come to be because of chaos, crisis, emergency declarations. This is what they want. I cannot explain to you how damaging the COVID emergency declaration that Donald Trump signed and supported was to America. And I call it one of the greatest blunders in the last 50 years of American presidents. And I'm not necessarily blaming Trump. You know, he was in a really bad situation. He should have known better. And many people, including myself, were arguing against this, the whole idea of 2 weeks. But that empowered all these governors. And so what's also happening is that those emergency declarations, now they want to do a climate emergency. And of course, now the Russian sanctions on top of everything else with the supply chain issue could be enough to collapse the current American economy with energy and inflation and debt and spending. And now, of course, pushing universal basic income so people work less and less. It's going to be harder and harder to find. We already saw it's hard to find people to work when they can make more on government assistance than they can at your average entry-level job. So what this means is you say they won't like it, but they're not gonna have a choice. And that's the whole point. Do you have a choice to drive your car if you can't afford it? They've just taken away the internal combustion engine because you can't afford gas anymore, regardless of whether I'm an American, it's my right, I'll never let them do it. They just did by circumstance. And it's the same thing. They don't need to come and arrest you and put you in a gulag like the tyrants of old. They can just make you irrelevant. They can take away your banking. They can take away your free speech. They can take away your transportation. They can take away even your home. We have China, in addition to Bill Gates, gobbling up American farmland. And that's the other thing that's happening. So, and it's turning former family-owned farms into rentals or corporate farms. In the case of BlackRock buying up property, the largest asset management firm, they're buying up properties that people can't afford anymore because of economic collapse and lockdowns and chaos and inflation and unemployment and debt. And they're turning people from single family homeowners into single family renters. So once again, you say people won't accept it. It's being imposed upon them in a chaotic way under emergency declarations where without a vote of Congress and legislature. So I don't think people have much of a choice other than mass resistance and realizing what's going on and trying to stop this.
Yeah. Mark, thank you so much for what you do, man.
I hope it wasn't depressing. So just gouge your eyes
Thanks for the truth, my man.
Okay, thank you.
All right. We got the great Carol Markowitz coming up next. She's going to elaborate on a few things when it comes to Joe Biden. Is he going to get us into World War III? But first, let's talk about homes for a minute. Maybe you're one of those people who's a homeowner. If you are, pay attention. If you're a homeowner, your home title is online. I know you probably think it's locked up in the bank somewhere, because that's what I always thought. Nope, they're all out there in the cloud online. So we have these cyber thieves. Some people make a living like this. They just sit there all day long in front of the computer looking for stuff they can steal online. They're trying to hack into your home title. This is one of those massive crimes that's sweeping the country we haven't been able to get a handle on. If they get your home title, they're gonna forge your signature on it, take a loan out against it, and wipe you out, get you evicted from your home. Go to HomeTitleLock.com so it won't happen to you. Sign up, they'll detect any tampering and shut it down like that. HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be back.
Mr. President, do you want Putin removed? Mr. President, were you calling for regime change?
No. No? That's weird. That's not what I heard. Joining me now is Carol Markowitz of the New York Post. I might as well throw my crazy theory out there to Carol so she can destroy it as she often does. Carol, I understand how horrible Vice President Kamala Harris is. I make a living making jokes about her. I'm well aware.
I've noted. Yeah.
I still say it is time. I know what that would mean. It's a national security issue. This is now twice, to my count, in just recent weeks. He's said something that was supposed to remain private. He said it publicly. And these are not small stakes. The stakes are as big as they get. It's time for Kamala Harris.
Yeah, you're right. I think maybe it is time for Kamala Harris because I do think we're in danger. I think every time the president speaks, it should be concerning to Americans that he's going to say something wild and crazy like this. This latest one, it really could start World War III. It's not a joke, and it's something we should take very seriously. So, I don't know. Kamala, in a lot of ways, I think might be worse. But in our present moment, Biden really is a danger.
Carol, sanctions. They've been all over the map with sanctions, and people, I think, don't fully understand sanctions. They're not even on the same page with sanctions. Right. Here's a little video.
Sanctions never deter. You keep talking about that.
The purpose of the sanctions has always been and continues to be deterrence.
The purpose of the sanctions, in the first instance, is to try to deter Russia from going to war.
The president believes that sanctions are intended to deter.
They're meant to prevent and deter a large-scale invasion.
We want them to have a deterrent effect.
The sanctions are designed in the first instance to try to deter Russia from taking further aggression.
As well as our efforts to both try to deter Russia through sanctions.
If you pull the trigger on that deterrent, well, then it doesn't exist anymore as a deterrent.
Carol, did they not deter?
That's really scary, Jesse. No, they did not deter. I think that no matter how much they talked about the sanctions being a deterrent or not a deterrent or whichever way they were leaning that day, the fact is that Biden said that the world would tolerate a small incursion. And according to Putin, this is really what he got. I mean, does Putin think he's got a big incursion going on? I think Putin would say, you said a small incursion would be okay. We're making a small incursion. So I don't know. This is really terrifying that the administration really leans so many different ways all the time on issues of grave importance like this. Maybe it is him, President Kamala.
Carol, Slavic people going after each other is not exactly something that just began. There's a bit of history there. And as somebody who's from that part of the world, would you please just take the floor and elaborate some on Russia, Ukraine, and just a little bit of history they have together?
Yeah, so it is not a new thing. I think that it is surprising to Americans to see this happen. I don't know that we've learned a lot about the Eastern European history in this country. But I would say, I mean, in general, obviously, I think that Putin is a terrible person. I think that Russia is completely at fault here, even if they did feel threatened, which I'm sure they did. I don't think this kind of invasion really spotlights them in a positive light. So I don't think there's a lot of gray area here about good guys and bad guys, etc. Even if we don't see Ukraine as this heroic, mythical tale that the media is trying to spin for us, still, Putin bad is a pretty easy call. This has been going on for a very long time. I think the ramping up to this had been going on for a very long time. I had family in both countries up until recently. They're very intermingled, very intermarried. You have the Ukrainian president grew up speaking Russian. I mean, just a lot of factors here that I think people don't realize, that it's not such a clear divide between them.
Putin threatened? Why would a major power like Russia be threatened by Ukraine? What are you talking about?
Well, I think that Ukraine being pulled closer and closer into NATO absolutely made him concerned and made him lash out. And again, it's ridiculous that I have to preface it by saying I am not making any excuses for Vladimir Putin. I think that he is a bad person, and he's doing a terrible job leading his country. Forget about the Ukraine invasion. I think as president of Russia, he's been distinctly awful, and we really don't know that much about that. But I could absolutely see why he took NATO constantly motioning to Ukraine to move ever closer to them as a threat.
Carol, why is NATO still a thing? I understand why it became a thing, obviously, back when it was the big Soviet Union and very, very aggressive and the menace and whatnot. But why is it still a thing? Is this just one of those things we can't let go of? Am I dead wrong? Should it be a thing? Tell me.
It doesn't make any sense, I think, in today's world. For example, you know, NATO has clearly taken the side of Ukraine in this conflict, and they've helped as much as they could without getting into a hot war with Russia. So is Ukraine left out of the NATO equation just because, you know, these countries haven't put boots on the ground? You know, hard to say. I don't really see the point when they're clearly going to be taking sides in other conflicts outside of the NATO countries. And the fact is that I'm not sure even if, you know, obviously this is all speculation, but if Putin did invade a NATO country, would that mean that the NATO countries would put boots on the ground? That's not a given. I don't know that they can necessarily rely on that. So, no, I think its usefulness has long passed.
All right, finally, switching gears back to Joe here real quick before we get to the newest Hollywood news. Joe Biden gets angry a lot, Carol. Here's this.
Ask the right questions.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say?
Go back and read what I said.
Why? You're getting nervous, man.
That is an interesting reading of English. You I assume you got in the journals because you like to write.
I want to talk about happy things, man.
What do you do all the time?
So
what
did I say I was coming?
I said what I said was.
Let's get it straight.
No, you'd ask it. I have no response. It's another smear campaign. Right up your alley. Those are questions you always ask.
You don't understand that you're in your own business.
No, don't get me wrong. I hate reporters, so I hope they all get treated like crap. But I do think it's weird they're all supporting this guy, and he's always treating them like crap. Why is Joe Biden so angry?
So I would say that the media has changed a lot from the time that Joe Biden was vice president. And also, the media was so warm to Barack Obama that he expected a similar sort of thing for him. Joe Biden is not Barack Obama as far as left is concerned, as far as liberals are concerned, and they certainly are not going to treat him the same way. So I think he's surprised that he gets any amount of pushback at all. I mean, less surprised from more conservative outlets, but he certainly seems like he's shocked even when Fox News goes after him. He seems like he should be getting a pass, and he thinks that that should be just the way it goes for him.
Wow. Well. All right, Carol, finally, everyone knows what the news of the day is today. The Will Smith, Chris Rock thing. I'll be honest, I think it's hilarious. I've had a couple jokes about it, but for the most part, I hate Hollywood too, and I hope they all slap each other at the next award show. What say you?
I mean, I was thinking that you'd be hiding in your house today because I thought you'd be for sure worried that Will Smith was going to come after you since you recently very publicly declared his music to be, you know, a bunch of crap. do you remember that just a few weeks ago you had something to say about getting jiggy?
I do, because his music is crap, Carol, and I don't like it that you're still defending Will Smith's music. It's awful. Have you listened to one of these songs recently?
Parents just don't understand. That's a classic.
Gosh. Carol Markowitz, thank you so much.
Great to see you, Jesse.
All right. My friend Curtis Houck is going to go after the media, as he often does on this show that is coming up next. But let's talk about something serious here for a moment. Your email. I know you have email. I know you do. I do too. Who do you use? You don't have to tell me. You don't have to admit something to me. I'm not your pastor here, but who do you use for your email? Because you know the big tech companies, you know why they let you email back and forth for free, right? You do know they're reading all those emails. They're grabbing all the data you send and receive. They're collecting it. And not only are they collecting it, so now they know everything about you, they're dispersing it to others. They sell your data. Stop doing that. Go to Secure, S-E-K-U-R. Not American. Cannot be attacked by these ridiculous communist politicians here. It's based in Switzerland. They're safe. For $7.50 a month, you can actually have secure email. go to SEKUR.com. Use the promo code Jesse, because that'll save you a bunch of money. Secure.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Biden's secret emails.
A really fishy story.
The Post claimed that the emails were found on a laptop computer that was brought to a repair shop in Delaware in the spring of 2019.
The FBI is now investigating whether those alleged Hunter Biden emails are actually connected to a larger foreign intelligence operation.
They may be related to a foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence operation.
For all we know, these emails are made up.
The information found on the laptop may be part of a Russian disinformation campaign.
Part of a Russian disinformation effort.
Described by many intelligence experts as having hallmarks.
All the hallmarks of a Russian.
Russian disinformation
campaign.
This is a classic example of the right-wing media machine.
Indeed. Joining me now, my friend Curtis Houck, the managing editor of the Great Media Research Center. Curtis, Russian disinformation. You know, before we actually get into the specifics of that, I love when you guys put together these videos. You do such great work because it shows not just they're all on the same theme, they actually use the same words. And Curtis, I'm not privy to these, but it's honestly like an email gets sent out with all the specific talking points, and they all follow right along. Why do they all use the same words, Curtis?
I know, you would think that you would at least try to hide it if everyone's singing from the same sheet music. You wouldn't try to make it look so obvious, but it would be kind of a wink and a nudge that the White House would, or the Biden team would know that everybody's on the same side without actually having to do it. But here we are. I mean, I think it's because they're so shameless. There's no accountability in any of this whatsoever. And they know that they could get away with such a thing because over and over again, we see with Brett Kavanaugh being another example where they just try to speak things into existence. Russian collusion was another one with the Trump campaign. You just say something over and over again if you somehow think it's true. And when that's not the case at all. With Hunter Biden, we found in a study we released today that it's been 259 days since the broadcast networks covered Hunter Biden. It's been since July 12th for NBC, CBS July 10th, and April 30th for ABC. That was during a lot of the coverage you saw regarding his art, his supposed art sale that was going for six figures, and his horrid book campaign. The only kind of people that bought it were Jimmy Kimmel to see about all the different places he smoked crack at.
Curtis, let me ask you something about the media and their influence on the public. We obviously see from videos like this you guys put together that there's an agenda. Quite obviously, they lock shields and they push a specific message and protect these people and attack these people. We know all that. Mm-hmm. Is it effective? Because I saw a poll recently that just floored me, and you never know the validity of these polls, that they polled Democrats asking how important the Hunter Biden laptop thing is. And even Democrats, a Democrat majority, think it is a significant deal. Well, if the media is telling them it's not, and even Democrats think it is, how much influence does the media have anymore?
Right, they really don't. And I think actually, Jesse, they've undermined themselves by spending 4 years screeching about Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump. Every time a Trump press secretary was asked about them and they would say they're private citizens, the media uproar would just be over the top. CNN would lose its damn mind. Jim Acosta would suggest that people saying CNN sucks is equating to death threats, and people ducking their questions about the Trump family or some sort of admission of guilt. The American people now see it on the flip side with actual proof of Hunter Biden's dealings in countries that really don't particularly like us, like China and random countries like Kazakhstan. And they wonder, what the heck is this? And they see Jen Psaki's answers as in, he's a private citizen. He doesn't work for the government. I'm just a White House spokesperson. And they see that. And that's total BS. But instead, we're all obsessed about, you know, what these text messages of a Supreme Court justice's wife contain. So the hypocrisy in this particular moment, Jesse, is illuminating. And I don't think they intended it that way, but the contrast couldn't be any more stark when you juxtapose those two positions. But yet here they are with their catch-all term about Russian disinformation that they're going to probably still ride here going forward, regardless of the fact that both the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal now this morning have come out with stories saying that, yes, the grand jury is very interested in what's going on here. And in fact, as the New York Times reported, there was stuff about the laptops. But the other thing that it was important to hone in on is they interviewed the former stripper who's alleged that Hunter Biden fathered a child with her, that they even talked to her, the U.S. attorney in Delaware. So that story is gaining legs as well. So stay tuned.
Hunter Biden. Talk about living a rough life. All right, you know what? Let's talk about that for just a moment, Curtis, because part of these investigations, before I get to this other clip and whatnot, part of these investigations has Hunter Biden owing $1 million in back taxes, which it's not surprising he'd be a tax cheat. But the interesting thing that I found is it sounds like he had to borrow $1 million to pay it back. Well, Curtis, I don't know about you, but I look at these deals that we know he made with Chinese oligarchs, the deals in Ukraine. We're talking about, you brought up the art earlier. He's selling crappy finger paintings for $500,000 a clip. Where do these people spend their money that you have to borrow $1 million? It sounds like he should be flush with it.
Yeah, and you think, I'm looking at some of the story from the Wall Street Journal, this like shell company is buying cars for him. They're buying these luxury cars that he then drives around, and then he trades them in for another luxury car. So it's clear that, yeah, he has the means to do it. But yes, I think that was probably the most single amusing thing about this piece, Jesse, is that, yes, he took out a loan to pay the back taxes. So, and I know his book deal, Beautiful Things, did not sell well. It was only, I think, a couple hundred copies within his first couple weeks. All of them probably bought by Hunter Biden himself, is paper to line his, to lay out his substances on. But other than that, yeah, he's clearly not doing that great. And that's the other reason why I think New York Post reporter Stephen Nelson is right to push Jen Psaki for, who is Joe Biden meeting with and what is he talking about when he goes back to Delaware? Because Biden goes back to Delaware so often, and because of that, they don't have to release visitor logs about who's met with him. So who knows what he's been talking about with Hunter in the last however many years at his house in Delaware, and the media are just largely fine with that.
Yeah, boy, that is something. All right. Well, probably more importantly than even the president's grease fire son is the fact we're about to have a new lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court who is not generally concerned with child porn. And the media is, of course, running cover for him as a video.
But this focus on child pornography and pedophiles.
QAnon.
I mean, there was a message to QAnon, wasn't it? I mean, these are not major cases. These were sentencing decisions.
What Josh Hawley is doing when he tries to do this is he's trying to get her killed. He is trying to get violence done against a Supreme Court nominee.
But here's the thing. Josh Hawley is not backing down. What he is doing is dangerous. It's character assassination of a woman who is going to be confirmed.
This is about appealing to the QAnon audience, this cult that is a big presence in Republican Party politics now.
Yes, Curtis, why in the world would we be worried about a little thing like child pornography and some sympathizer to it being on the court for the rest of her life?
No, I don't see why. What's the point of that at all? No. It's not like the protection of children is one of the most important things that a law enforcement agency can or a judge can be involved with. But in all seriousness, I mean, it is really absurd to see what's been going on with that story. The Washington Post interviewed one of the people sentenced that Senator Hawley and others were talking about. Not surprisingly, he reoffended and got a longer sentence. And really, the Washington Post played it off as, so what? He was a 26-year-old looking at photos of a 13-year-old. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. And that he's really just needs to be seen. I mean, I've seen this my whole life, Jesse, where there are people that argue that these kinds of sick monsters don't deserve jail time. What they need is therapy. I mean, you never know what people are going through in their families, but at least for some of us, it's you deserve the time. I mean, it should be really simple, but with the way that the left is going in our criminal justice system, it's not surprising it's taking this turn. And I think it's this last week was a lot of Americans waking up to the fact about where the left stands. And just add it to the list. If this is really what the left wants to do in terms of their midterm message about law and order, go right ahead and see how that goes.
No doubt. Yeah, please run on that. Curtis Houck, thank you, my brother.
Anytime, man.
All right. We have Light in the Mood next. But first, apparently you really enjoyed the history special we did last week. Well, I have good news for you. It's still available. You know, the one where we talked about Pol Pot and the killing fields and all that communist filth and murder. It's right there. You can watch it right now if you want. You just have to become a supporter of The First. Go to thefirsttv.com/support and sign up. Enjoy. And there may be more history specials coming. We'll be back with Light in the Mood. I love propaganda. You see, it's Light in the Mood time, and let me be clear about why I love propaganda. Every time I see some propaganda video from some foreign dictator, like anyone else, I picture myself in there and I think, man, I want cool propaganda videos made of me. So when I saw the communist scumbag who leads North Korea put out his own propaganda video, I was a little jealous. Here it is. That's real. We didn't, on my life, we didn't touch it. That's a real video they put out. The sunglasses, too. I want one of those. I'll see you tomorrow.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.